Hicks, an old-time Baptist, and Michael, what do you come up with? Oh, we love it. We love it in the name of Jesus Christ. We are so glad that you're here with us today, and we share together in the Word because what we're sharing is God's Word, and there's power in the Word. And as we think that there's power in the Word of God, this Word that came to us a couple of nights on Wednesday night, it said, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active." Now, when you grab a hold to that, the Word of God is living and active. And one of the things that we've learned from the Jewish spectrum, when you speak a word, it's not only just a picture, but it's alive. It continues on. And that's the reason why God says when He sends out His Word, it never returns void. It keeps moving until it accomplishes. And we believe there's power in the Word. Sometimes we need to see it. Sometimes we need to see the power of God, and it can come from some of the most unique places that you'd ever dream about. Think about it. Now, what I want you to watch is coming up here. And when you see it, I want you to watch several different things. I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to watch the reaction of the people and what happens when the Word comes through. Now, you've got to watch this fast. And it's coming from an area that you wouldn't expect it. But I think there's something so profound. Listen for the Word. The Word of God is living in that power of the world. Watching the transformation of hands. Listen to the voices.
Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Did you see the power of the Word and the transformation of the people under the power of the Word of God? It's so amazing to see what God is doing today with His Word. And as we look at it, we're going to be thinking about the matter of the soul is the matter of the soul. Looking at these, the matter of the soul is the soul matters. Now, when you begin to develop this, we're going to be looking at our text coming through here, and this is the Word of God that's alive, and it's the transformation of the Word. And as it begins to transform, how does it happen? It happens through coming through the Word. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the what? Word of Christ. You see, there's power in that Word of Christ. It transforms because it's alive, and because it's powerful. You have within your presence something that's alive. Now, if you lay it on your desk and you never open up the leaves of it, it doesn't want to grow. But if you open up the leaves and see this power as it begins to develop out, because the Scripture says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our," what? Faith. Transforming power of God. Faith. Now, who's hearing this? Is it going across? Or are people listening to the Word of God? Romans 10:18 says, "But I say, surely they have never heard." Have they? Have y'all ever heard this question? Have other people really heard? Now, when you come out of the Scripture, it throws something so unique at here. And if the Word of God's alive and the Word of God's moving, then you can't come up and get the Word. And let me give you my mother's favorite word. I got to back up just a little bit. Mom's 93 years old, okay? And Mom's 93 years old. And you can tell Mom, hey, look this and this and this. Said, that's good. But on the other hand, now you want to change the subject and you can change the subject. But then she's going to say, but on the other hand. And you know where she's headed. She's headed back to wherever Mom wanted to head to. But on the other hand, and a lot of people are going to say right here, you know, have people really heard the word? Indeed. Their voice have gone out into all the earth. What? And their words to the ends of the world? How far has it gone? Who has heard? Is there something going on right here that's reality and that's active and that's alive? Yes, God's Word has gone out to the ends of the world so that they might have and receive. Now, looking at this, you got the Word, right? Have you been tested? Have you been tested? I won't go to what I heard about Mississippi. Mississippi's been tested for the wrong thing. And I heard this week that Mississippi is found wanting in an area, medical area, HIV. They've been tested, and Mississippi is one of the highest ones on the charts. I didn't know that. See, they've been tested. But you know, being tested means tested in different ways. What about testing of the Word? Have you been tested for the Word? Now, when you're testing for the Word, you can see the symbol up here. Now, you're asking yourself the question, what in the world does that mean? Is there any meaning behind that symbol? We're visible, right? We look and we like to see things. So how does all of this work together? I like to carry you to public enemy number one is none other than Satan. Well, let me go ahead. Jesus told this story. Don't you like stories? I like stories. And Jesus told a story about this man went out and sowed some seeds. And some seeds, some of the seed fell on stone, on the hard, stony path, the rocky ground, the bypass, the kind of the pathway. And some of these seeds fell among the rocky ground. Just a little bit of soil there. Some of the seeds fell over in the weeds, in the thorns and thistles. But some seed fell on good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was through preaching. Now, if I turned around and walked away right now, what would you say? Good to have you back, Judy. Hey, would you think about those words? Would you think about that story? Do you understand what that story means? Well, if you were like the disciples, they really didn't grasp it. They didn't really understand what that story meant. But it was coming from the Creator of the universe, coming from Jesus Christ, and He told the story. The disciples kind of got to the side and said, hey, Jesus, what does it mean? Well, now that you know the background from where this is coming from, all of a sudden, public enemy number one is going to be Satan. And we're going to develop this here. So the number one enemy that you and I are going to have is none other than Satan himself. Public enemy number two, suffering. Suffering. Suffering is something that changes the lives of many people and they begin to go in directions that they don't want to go. Suffering can be suffering can be a blessing. But suffering can be public enemy number two. Public enemy number three, selfishness. Now, selfishness, what does that mean? Well, we're going to develop this. Are you selfish? Do you want your way? If this marriage is going to work, do what I tell you. Right? Is there an element that we can identify with? Mom ain't happy. You see what I'm talking about? There's something about this element right here that comes into to focus right here. Public enemy number three is going to be selfishness. Public, no. An advocate. You have an advocate, somebody that's going to stand tall for you, and his name is going to be the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when you begin to develop this, there's power in the Word of God. So I have this strong impression from me that I want you to hear the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So therefore, we read the Word of God together. The sower sows the seed. What? And the sower sows the Word. This is the interpretation. This is what Jesus was telling him. The sower, they sow the Word. Now, is the Word powerful? Is the Word alive? See, just by you being here this morning and you listening to the Word, the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to do something special in your life. Sanctify them. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. You can hear all different kind of noises out there. But when you come back to the Word, what do you know? It's the truth. So now the truth is being sowed among who? Hey, among all the people. And how does this thing develop? All of a sudden, he sowed the truth out there. Public enemy number one comes on the scene. Satan begins to say, immediately he attacks you. Some of you are going to hear the Word this morning and you are going to be attacked immediately. I mean, it's going to happen before you ever leave this morning. Mark, this is where we're picking up. Mark 14, 15. You want to follow in the Scripture? It's hard for me to open up and read it, so I'm going to read it off the screen, okay? Y'all follow it. You mark it. You read it. You put notes in the... Because some of this stuff is going to stick out in your heart, in your mind, that you won't ever want to forget. And if I don't put a cheat note in my book sometimes I don't remember it. Mark chapter 14. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Okay, you ready for me? You ready? Here we go. I'm going to read it off the screen. These are those who are beside the road where the Word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the Word which has been sown in them. All of a sudden, public enemy number one, what does he do? How long does he wait before you leave? No, immediately he comes in and says, you don't need to listen to that stuff. You don't need to listen to that. It's not going to do anything good for you. It's not going to transform your life. All they are is some old guy reading out of a book. Satan comes along and he tries to rob. What does he want to rob out of your mind? The Word. He takes away the Word that was sown. Public enemy number one. In a similar way, these are the ones who sow, the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they heard the Word, immediately received it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately they do what? Fall away. You see, this is public enemy number two, suffering. Suffering can come into many people's lives. But when suffering comes into your life on account of the Word of God, how are you going to do? You can do one of two things. You can either fight or flight. You've only got two choices. You're either going to fight or flight. And right here we see affliction is going to come. Jesus said, you're going to suffer. Jesus suffered, so why should you not? So when the Word of God comes into your life, oh, how are you going to suffer? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Turn it down. Thou shalt not steal. Turn it down. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't lie. Thou shalt not commit. Hey, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. You see, all of a sudden, that don't feel good. That doesn't line up with my agenda. That doesn't line up with my worldview. All of a sudden, I become afflicted and receive persecution because I'm going to say a word that nobody likes to say. No. No. People don't like to say no. Public enemy number two kicks in there. Public enemy number three comes on. And others were sown on the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who heard the Word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the Word. And it becomes what? Unfruitful. Folks, out of all of the parables that Jesus told, this one hurts me the worst. Out of all the stories that Jesus told. Because the reality is, you and I know this story is true. You and I know that some people say, well, I've got bills to pay, so I need to get a second job. The worries of the world. Some people say, well, if I get enough money, I'll be happy. The deceitfulness of riches. And some say, well, I want a new car. The desire of other things. Paying your bills, is that right or wrong? That's right. Is wealth in itself necessarily wrong? No. Are things necessarily wrong? But when it chokes the word out of you, it is what? It is sin. And you and I have watched people through the years who all of a sudden they got the raise and they disappeared. Who all of a sudden they just had the desire for that one more thing, or the worry, they just can't pay their bills and they're so overcome by that. It just chokes the word out. And they become what? Unfruitful. But you have an advocate. Verse 20. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they heard what? Did you notice they keep hearing the word? Is the word truth? These, they heard the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Three things are happening right there. You got to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What? The word of God's alive. What? The word of God is truth. They heard it, but you can hear it all day long. But if you don't mix faith with it, it's not going to be fruitful. You can know the truth. If you know the truth, it'll set you free. You see, you've got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But you've got to accept it, and it's going to make a difference and change in my life. And then it'll bear fruit. It does it. It really, absolutely does it. There are guys sitting in this place right now that are squirming because of what I just got through reading. And I'm not going to call Joe's out for name out for no reason. But he led me down a discussion on this. Exactly what we're talking about. Folks, you got to hear it, but you got to bring faith with it. It's got to change your life, or else there'll be no fruit. Franco's about to go to Korea. When he goes over to Korea, he's going to have heard the word. But he's got to mix faith with it to bring about the fruit in Korea. You know what? The same is true right here. Franco is going to do it there. Frank is going to do it in Hamilton, Mississippi. He's going to hear the word. He's going to accept it. And he's going to bear fruit. Joe's heard it right here in Columbus, and he's going to start visiting out some of the older people who are sickly, and those visitors who are coming through, he's going to start reaching out and touching because he's heard the word, he's accepted it. Now bear the fruit. So see, this is what we're all boiling it down to. What do all these things have in common? And you can say, well, they're all... No. Was the seed good? Yeah, it was God's word. The seed was good. Don't tell me unfruitful because the seed's good. Is the seed potential? Oh, it definitely is. It's alive. It's living. It just needs that moment to be planted. What about the location? It was in the same area, right? It was in the same area. So all these things have... And by the way, what's the purpose of the seed? To bear fruit. So they all got the same opportunity, they're in the same locale, and they all can produce the way that God desires for them to produce. But what's the difference? Here's the difference. That good seed, that truth, Satan comes along. And Satan is a killer, a stealer, and a destroyer. He's a liar. Satan has come to steal away. The very truth that can change your life, Satan is here today to say, ha, you don't need that. The potential, what about it? The potential is there. And some people get so excited today. But you know what? Give them a little time. One of the things that we learned in our study for the last 4 weeks, share, a guy asked, are all the people you lead to that pray this prayer, are all of them saved? And he says, no. He said, how do you know the ones that are saved and the ones not saved? Well, if I come back here a year from now and that person is on fire for the Lord and producing fruit, I'll know that person was saved. You see, that's what he's talking about. But the potential is there. But if there's a falling away, there's no fruit there. Location fades away. Hey, something want to choke the life out of you? Every one of us have that. Next Sunday morning, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to get up and go to church? On Monday, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to read the Word of God and allow God to speak to me? During out this week, are you going to, see, all of us have to make the decision. Are we going to bear fruit? Or are we going to just fade away? Let me tell you one of the horror stories that I have with this. One of the horror stories is that a lot of people don't necessarily turn around and just say, I'm turning my back on God. They just begin to fade away. They were going every Sunday. And then they're going every other Sunday. And then they're going once a month. And then they're not going at all. People didn't recognize it. But all of a sudden, they just fade away. But for those who found the purpose, there's fruit. Here. Okay, test time. Test time. You ready for tests? Here's the test. And I won't point anybody out until I think about it. What does Satan seek to steal? What can cause suffering in the church? What does the world seek to choke out? What produces fruit in the Christian? Y'all passed. So then, has your soul been tested? If your soul's not been tested, let me tell you, folks, it is going to be tested. No question about it. It's not if, it's when. And when the soil is tested, how are you going to respond? Four ways. Remember, who's public enemy number one? Satan. Jesus, He is Lord. How do you respond to public enemy number one? You say, get out of here, Satan. Jesus, He is Lord. Public enemy number two. What is that? Suffering. Jesus, He has risen from the grave. Did Jesus suffer? Huh. On the cross? For your sins and for my sins? Did Jesus suffer all the way to the death on the cross? Did He turn His back? Did He fade away? No. He has risen from the grave. Who's public enemy number three? Selfishness. Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, you're going to have to confess you're overwhelmed by the worries. You're going to have to confess the deceitfulness of riches. You're going to have to confess the desire of all these things. You're going to have to confess and say, He is Lord. He is Lord. Because every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow and proclaim Jesus is Lord. You can say it in one of two ways. You can say He's Lord as your Savior, or you can say He's Lord as your judge. That's the only two ways. If Jesus is your Lord this morning, then praise Him. Take the food in. Bear fruit. If Jesus is not your Lord this morning, then you and Him need to have a little talk in a hurry. Tell Him you're sorry for your sins and ask Him to come into your life and to save you. And if you'll do that right now, He will come in. And let me tell you, I can tell you this beyond any shadow of a doubt. You invite Him in. Say no to the devil. You invite Him in. You don't come in temporary and say, I'm just going to try it out. No, you get in the plane and you throw the parachute out. That means you're in it for the long haul. You see, He is Lord, and you're not doing it for yourself any longer. But you're doing it for the One who died for you. Your life is. Because He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As they come and prepare for our invitation, the matter of the soul is what? Is the soul matters. Two letters are underlined right there. Do you see what those? In the soul, the letter U. Okay, in the soul, it's the letter I. You make a difference. I make a difference. Because Jesus Christ, He is Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we come into Your presence this morning, we come knowing, Lord, You are Lord. And Father, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt this morning that that evil one is here. And he's wanting to rob. He's wanting to steal. He's wanting to kill. We know that. And Father, we know that there are some in here who say, well, let me just test it. And Father, we know that it's not temporary. This is for the long haul. And Jesus, we know that there are some in here who have been drawn away by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for things, Lord. We know that's happening. But Father, right now, our advocate is standing up for us. Our advocate, who is Jesus Christ, He's at the right hand of God the Father. Right now, He's standing up for the ears and the eyes. So Father, I ask You to let us respond to You, God, in this hour, in this moment, in this time, today. You said today is the day of salvation. It's today. So, Lord, we respond to You this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. What we'd like to do is we'd like to stand together during this time of invitation. If you'd like to give your, if you've already given your life to Jesus, come tell me. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus this morning, come and I'll share the Scripture with you. Others of you may have been struggling with Satan, with deceitfulness, and the prayer altars are open. So I invite you now to come into His presence and go to the prayer altar and spend time with Him. What is God saying to you during this time? It's for you, the U's and the I's. Let's make our decision.